The first reading is from Ruth chapter 1 verses 1 to 18. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After that, they lived there about 10 years. But Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Or could become your husband, who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband, even if I thought there was still hope for me. Even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. And the gospel reading is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord.
So, An interesting story with Ruth and Naomi, isn't it? Have you ever been overseas for an extended time? Or maybe, like Bob, you are from another country, far from your own people and your traditional ways. But then if you are one of those Aussies who's coming back, you climb on board the Qantas plane and you hear those accents of the flight attendants, and it's like, I'm going home. It's very exciting, and I don't think you realise until you suddenly hear that accent how much you miss your country of birth. Some years ago, I was on a tour of Jordan and Israel, and in Petra, which is that fabulous place in Indiana Jones with all of that stone cathedral sort of thing built into the rock. Anyway, we met a woman there from New Zealand, and when she was a young woman in 1978, she was travelling and she met and married a nomadic Bedouin. Yes. And so she'd been living there in a cave in the desert without power or water or anything like that for around 40 years. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? So she must have loved that Bedouin. The longest I was ever away was about 4.5 years. But today, with the story of Naomi and Ruth, it's something else. So Naomi and her husband Elimelech and their sons were from Bethlehem. Ring any bells? Bethlehem. And there was a famine. And so in order to survive, the family decided to move. And so they left, they packed up. We don't know how old the boys were then, but you can imagine. I've got four sons and daughters, so packing up a couple of them would be enough. And there was a famine, and so off they went. And it wasn't as simple as boarding a plane or getting into their air-conditioned car. They had to travel, they had to walk. They started walking and walking through the desert. So 80 kilometres is not far for us today, but if you were there and you had to walk it, there's no roads, just deep sand, saying, come on boys, come on, hurry up, dragging everything along and whatever else you took with you. It was a big deal. Anyway, so they packed up, they left home, and they walked the 80 kilometres to Moab. Now, the Moabites were descendants of Lot, and they were very despised by the Jews. It wasn't a good place for them to be, but they had food there, so that's why they'd gone there. And it would have taken them probably 7 to 10 days to get there, camping overnight in the desert under the stars. And so they set up their new life in this community. And we don't know how long they were there before Naomi's husband Elimelech died, but you can imagine that would have been pretty harrowing for her, leaving her with the two boys. And so anyway, the boys grew up in that environment, and when they were old enough, they wanted to marry Moabite girls. So that was probably a bit of a problem for Naomi, knowing how the Jews loved the Moabites. And anyway, they married. And so Mahlon and Chilion, the boys, married Orpah and Ruth. And after 10 years, no grandchildren, the boys both died. So imagine Naomi then. So she's in this foreign country. Her own flesh and blood have died, and she's there with her two daughters-in-law. So it would have been a tragedy for her. So Naomi had a yearning for home, and then she heard that there was now food back in Bethlehem. And so she decided it was a good time to go back. And so they'd barely begun. She started off with the girls in tow. They'd barely begun. And she turned around and said, listen, girls, go home to your mothers. And she prayed for them and blessed them. And they all had a big cry. You know that. It tells us that. And you can imagine all the hugs and crying going on. And they said, no, we'll go with you. And she protested and said, there's no way I can give you another husband. See, the rule was that if your husband died, then his brother would marry you. And or the nearest relative. But there wasn't anyone. And so she said, I'm too old, but even if I had a husband and I could get pregnant tonight, would you wait till they grew up for them to be your husbands? She said, don't be silly, go home. So Orpah kissed her, and no doubt more tears, and she went home. But the ever faithful Ruth, we're told, clung to her. And she said in an impassioned declaration, I'm coming with you. Where you go, I'm going. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will become my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. So when Naomi realised that she'd lost the argument and that Ruth was determined to go with her, she gave up and she said no more. So off they went on the long walk back to Bethlehem. This is a very courageous move for two women to head off through the desert to make that journey home with the threat of bandits and misadventure. However, they were successful. And the story unfolds wonderfully, which we can't go into today, but I'm not sure if Reverend Karama will pick it up in a couple of weeks' time. It's in the lectionary readings, but we'll see. But Ruth didn't know at the time that because of her faithfulness, because she said she stayed with Naomi, that she didn't know that she would become the great-grandmother of King David, and that royal line into which Jesus was born, in that very town of Bethlehem. So what a great story. I love how God works things out. Now, Mark reading, Jesus tells us to love your neighbour as yourself. And just like Ruth did, so did Naomi. They were a great example to us, aren't they? They both embraced a foreigner. And your neighbour is whoever you meet today. It mightn't be the person who lives next door to you, but it's the person who serves you in the supermarket, the person you meet on the bus trip. Whoever you come in contact with is your neighbour. And the truth is that most people aren't like us. We tend to like people who are like us, but most people aren't. Australia has become a country, a melting pot of many cultures, religions, races, and range of abilities. And many people see themselves other than male or female. But guess what? They're all our neighbours. I've got a lesbian couple who live next door to me, and they've been so kind to me. And, you know, they're my neighbours. God calls me to love them. Jesus said that we should love others as we love ourselves. Do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? You know, you can't properly love others unless you love yourself. And you can love yourself because God loves you and Jesus died for you and for all those other people too. Our neighbours who aren't like us, Jesus died for them. So praise God. And all that great multitude that I read about before, We don't know who they are, where they've come from, but God knows. He pulls them in. We're not called to judge other people, but to love them. And that takes the stress out of life, big time. The other day I noticed at the Beenleigh Uniting Church, the sign, the great message, it said something like this: just love them all. I'll sort them out later. Sign God. So it's about we don't have to sort out people. If we don't agree with them, it doesn't matter. We just love them anyway. I'd like to read you a poem called Freed to Be, and it's about being liberated, because if we don't have to judge people, we only have to love them. It's just free. It's freeing. I ponder now this sacred charge, incomprehensibly so large, to be the very hands and feet of Jesus Christ to all I meet. Buried deep within his heart, I'm finding this is where love starts. Compassion overtaking me, I reach out inexplicitly. With eyes of Christ, I cry to see the way I've judged so morally those people I don't understand, who suffer mutely at my hand. Now love of Christ burned through my eyes. I'm blind to things I once despised, like lifestyle, gender, race or creed. That blind spot frees my heart indeed to welcome in those tortured souls, despised, rejected by the fold, to share their pain and dry their tears, bring comfort and allay their fears. I am compelled. There is no choice. I'm standing up to be their voice, released to love and share their load, to walk with them along life's road. I'm somewhat shocked, I must confess. I wonder what might happen next. But joy is mine. It's bubbling out. To bear Christ's love, it's all about. What privilege then this is for me, the hands and feet of Christ to be. There is no cost in being freed, to be as Christ to all in need. Amen.